When my little brother was born, that shifted the balance in the family from two boys and two girls to three boys and two girls, which meant that the boys got the bedroom upstairs. My parents had just kind of remodeled or revamped the attic to make it a nice bedroom, and I was excited that we got the new space, right? The downside to that, of course, I was probably about 5-6 years old there, and my older brother would stay up late doing his homework or whatever he was doing there. And I would come and ask him, "Are you ready to go upstairs yet?" Because I was scared to go up there by myself. And he would say, "Yeah, later, in a little bit." And he would give me that promise, right? And that would help me one step at a time going up those steps. Our first reading today comes from the Book of Wisdom. It's a great book of the Old Testament, maybe written a couple centuries before Christ. And it comments and elaborates on a number of things written earlier in the Old Testament. The reading today reflects on both Genesis and Exodus, the first two books of the Bible. Wisdom says that the Israelites who were enslaved in Egypt had it revealed to them ahead of time what would happen on the night of the Passover, that they were going to be freed that night from slavery. That's in the book of Exodus. Wisdom also says they never forgot the oaths in which they put their faith, and this gave them courage. What are the oaths mentioned in Genesis? There was one in Genesis 15 that God would bring the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt and give them land and nationhood. There was another in Genesis 17 that God would make of Abraham a great name. But the most important of all was in Genesis 22, when God swore an oath by himself that he would bring worldwide blessing from Abraham's seed. Those were the oaths mentioned in Wisdom this morning that the Israelites treasured and which gave them courage. Now, if I can take courage from my brother kind of flippantly saying, "I'll be up in a little bit," we can take courage from God swearing an oath that was eternal. The Israelites treasured the promise that they would become a great nation and a universal blessing to others, and it gave them courage. It was Abraham who received those oaths. And our second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews reminds us that at the end of Abraham's life, he had one heir and one small plot of land that he owned in this whole land of his that came to be known as Israel. And Hebrews asked the question, or implicitly asked the question, what kept Abraham going? The response is that he sojourned in the promised land as in a foreign country because he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and maker is God. Abraham treated the promised land as a foreign country. He didn't make a home of it because he was waiting for something more. He was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and maker is God. In the first reading, the people of Israel are keeping vigil with courage. In the second reading, Abraham lived as a guest in his own promised land, keeping vigil with courage for a heavenly city. The gospel today has three sections. In the first section, Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you his kingdom." As with Abraham, this kingdom is not in this world. As with the Israelites, this promise of Jesus gives us courage. But he also challenges us not to get mixed up regarding the kingdom. The kingdom's not of this world. And so he says, sell your belongings and give alms. In other words, are there things in this world that obscure for us the vision of our heavenly kingdom? What are they? Sell them. Get them out of the way and give the money away. What makes me cling to this world versus clinging to that heavenly kingdom? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. In the second section, Jesus speaks to all of his disciples of the need to be vigilant. Being vigilant means that we're waiting for something we don't have. Namely, we don't yet possess the kingdom promised to us, and so we need to be vigilant for it. And actually, we're being vigilant not for a thing, but for a person. Jesus is the king. And where the king is, there is the kingdom. We want him to return and find us ready to go with him. Otherwise, our hearts are clinging to this world in some way or another. The people in this world that we love, they can follow us into the kingdom. But the stuff of this world can't. And that's why Jesus says to sell it and give alms. If it's getting in the way of your longing for heaven, if you're keeping vigil for heaven, then sell it and give it away. In the third section of the gospel, Jesus speaks a message for all who have responsibility over others in this world. Now, first and foremost, he's speaking there to the bishops and the priests, because there's responsibility there over his house, over his church, right? To nourish and bring out the food in the proper time for his people, his servants. But the message pertains to everyone who has some kind of authority or another. Our job is to help those under us to be nourished on heavenly fare, to help them not to be attached to this world. And our example is the best way to do that, by our own example of detachment from the stuff of this world, by our example of awareness of the blessings the Lord gives us, by our example of stewardship and how we give back to the Lord through prayer, through involvement, and through a sacrificial tithe, thereby showing where our hearts are, that there is our treasure, and how we care for the eternal welfare of those around us. All of that goes together. It's good to be vigilant by taking time to pray, most importantly, Sunday Mass here in this church. But there must be other times of vigilant prayer where we point our hearts beyond this world to heaven. The danger is that we can get so wrapped up in our worldly lives that we forget where our true home is. What about your current life is more important than heaven? Here's the homework for the week. Strive to be vigilant this week in putting heaven above everything else. Now, that doesn't mean that we neglect our responsibilities, but that we do strive to be detached from worldly things. And have some vigilant prayer at home that can help you point your heart in the right direction.